upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
And we got a special guest here. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
I'm Matt.
Matt!
There we go.
Matt's like a friend of the family that he's been around our wives for way longer than we have.
Yeah.
Like he's
their wives potty trained me.
Yeah. But we also go to church together. You and I served in youth together. First new guest we've had in quite a while.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming. Thanks
I'm super excited. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, he's a loyal listener, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is 6 to 8 hours in a day, but getting them in.
That's good. Brother John's going to say a prayer real quick, and then we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just want to lift this whole thing up to you. We want to ask that you just help us. You allow us to remind us to surrender ourselves to you, surrender our thoughts to you, our tongues to you, and allow whatever it is that you want to come out of it, to come out of it, Father God. So we're just going to give this whole thing to you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh-wee.
All right, not everybody get quiet at once.
I mean, I can edit it, but, you know, it's not as fun that way.
Those long days call for long pauses. Yeah.
I'll just to kind of break the ice, I'm just not in a real good space today. I haven't been for a few days. A lot of negativity. Just in that space right now. I don't know. I can't identify like a source spot or something that kind of caused it or anything like that. I just know that I am and trying to work through it, trying to, you know, Terry and I have been strongly on that kick of like the speaking positively and, you know, the words of life, not death. But when you're in the wrong headspace, sometimes that gets to be a little like, you're not listening to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I feel like it's fair to admit that, you know, I'm in a weak point right now.
Yeah.
So, you brought up on Sunday that you heard us talking about kind of like the Trinity, because you were talking about like how is Jesus the Son of God, but also God kind of thing. And you had some notes that you had taken down that I thought were interesting.
Yeah. Kind of breaking it from the three to the one, so we're made in God's image.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just view that as like, oh, so God looks like us as human beings if he was a human being. But it's mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah.
So God is the divine mind. The Holy Spirit is the like your soul. Yeah. And Jesus was the flesh.
Yeah.
God's purpose, well, I won't say God's purpose, but his role in that is judgment.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's is conviction, and Jesus is to love. Who are we called to look like?
Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's our main point is just love like Jesus. But I think that really kind of breaks it down.
Found it interesting because I'd never really heard it put like that.
Somebody kind of close to me put it in like a little bit of a perspective. Like there's times that we do things even though we know they're wrong.
Yeah.
Like, we'll say, hey, I'm not going to do this because I know it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. And then
do it anyway.
And be doing it.
And it's that Holy Spirit's conviction telling you, hey, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
But then your flesh acting on it.
Yeah.
And not that I think that Jesus was, you know, because we all know he lived a sinless life. So he wouldn't act on those impulses. But kind of breaking it down to there is a part of each of those.
Yeah.
He made us in the image of him. So we all have a mind, body, and a spirit.
So let me ask you this. Do you think it's kind of Jesus understands the temptation of the flesh? That's why he is so forgiving?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He's never sinned.
He never gave in to the temptation. But he was born without sin, whereas we were not. We were born in the
Yeah.
We're born with as completely human.
With original, yeah.
We don't have that godlike, oh, well, I don't want to say that. It's within us, but we actually have to work at it.
Yeah, we don't have that divine conception where
our father,
all our problems come from our dad's side.
I don't know. I had a lot come from my mom's side too.
Man, and it really breaks down to, I think, Jesus coming and doing it. I don't know. I know y'all watched The Chosen. I'm a huge fan of The Chosen. Have y'all gotten to watch season 4 yet?
We have not watched season 4.
It's not a spoiler, but there's a point where Jesus kind of looks at people and they're telling him, hey, they're human. Like, chill out. And he's like, I'm a human too.
Yeah.
So I think that part of that is really like Jesus came down for or was born and died for our salvation. But at the same time, to prove to you, like, hey, it's possible with me.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't tangibly hold God.
Yeah.
Or look at him. And I don't know about you, but, like, I can't have a relationship that I can't tangibly touch, feel, see.
Yeah.
We needed that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so.
We still.
That was a very good way of putting that.
Yeah.
That's
interestingly enough, though. We don't actually get the benefit of seeing him as a human, right? Like we believe that he was.
Oh, 100%.
Right. So what was that scripture where he says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen?
Like, I feel like that's where we get the upper hand is we're believing solely based on faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean back then they had tangible evidence. They could
And they were still questioning.
Like,
who is this guy that can calm the winds and the waves?
Yeah,
homie, did you not just see what he did in the shores? Yeah.
And they're still just like, oh no, we're gonna die. And he's like, bro, seriously, I'm in the boat.
Yeah.
you know, I'm gonna accomplish the purpose that I'm here for. You think I'm gonna die in this boat? Yeah. They know the prophecy too.
And here I am questioning the fact that I'd lose my temper. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
In a basically to break it down in a nutshell, like a slander too, like someone pisses me off. And,
You know, say ugly things about
that guy's such a freaking piece of
whatever.
Yeah.
Add your own adjectives.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they come in 4 letters.
Yeah. I said a few of those today on that drive.
Traffic has been doing it to me a lot lately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting that it kind of leads into what I've been kind of struggling with today a little bit. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, and if you just listen to this, initially it's going to give you a very negative feeling and a very kind of not a lot of salvation there, right? He says, friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there's no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. And what I've noticed, this scripture has been popping up in things around me, right? And people are using this as a weapon to say, once you believe in Christ, if you sin again, it's game over. You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
So I started thinking about this a lot. I mean, a lot. And my first thought was I went back to David, right? David and Bathsheba, right? David saw Bathsheba, and he's like, I want that woman. He knew it was wrong. He knew she was married. You know what I mean? To his best friend. Like, he knew it was wrong, and he did it anyway. And Jesus, 1,000 years later, 2,000 years later, however long it was, still describes David as a man after God's own heart. So it's like, so I'm feeling like this scripture, the way people are using it is false. Interestingly enough, if you read Hebrews chapter 10 from the beginning, it comes off a lot different. And you start to recognize that this is about context, understanding who he's talking to, right?
Well, and y'all talked about that in episode 30, kind of having not just nitpicking scriptures because we can turn them and we can weaponize them, but actually getting the full context.
Get the before and the after, verse before and the verse after, because it changes the dynamic of the whole scripture.
You know how funny it is that people are so powerful at what they do and how they speak that they instantly make you believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I was at, and I was like, man, I'm donezo. I'm in all the wrong places. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying really hard to be a good Christ
mighty
follower.
Man of God.
Yeah, mighty
like
many.
You are, like you were called to be.
Trying. But I also see my failure, You know what I mean? I see my failure more than you do, clearly, obviously, right? You
everybody same. Does, because we're our worst critics. We're our own worst critics. I mean,
right.
I'm terrible to myself.
Well, and my goodness, yeah.
That's one thing, Pops being in my men's group on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I first got them in there, I said, hey, what is a biblical man to y'all? And they all gave their definition. I told them, I said, in my words, a biblical man is a failure.
Mm.
But when you fail at the feet of God.
Yeah,
like, right. It comes down to, you can't point another man in that book out,
yeah,
other than Jesus, that didn't make a mistake.
And plenty of them.
Whole bunch. 66 books worth. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dang.
So I want to run through this real fast, the Hebrews chapter 10, right? And then try to, maybe I can make it make sense to why I think that this context is being used improperly. So, starting verse 1, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. Instantly, I already am like, okay, what we're listening to down here means something completely different than what people are trying to say it is, right? Going on in verse 3, but instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other sin offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, God, as is written about me in the scriptures. For Christ said you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, but they were required by the law. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. And then we can read the rest of it, and I think it just kind of will just reiterate the point I'm trying to make. I think, first of all, we have to recognize that the person writing this and who they're talking to are Jewish believers, new believers in Christ, that are Jewish, that have always lived by the Jewish law.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I think is happening, based off of the context of the book, is they're trying to continue to do the same thing. They're still trying to bring their sacrifices to the high priest. You know what I'm saying? And and this is my
ways.
Yes, this is my offering for sin. And what he's trying to tell them is those offerings mean nothing.
Yeah.
The offering of Christ paid the debt already. You're wasting your time.
Sacrificial lamb's already been, it's been and gone. Yeah.
The one
came back.
The one perfect sacrifice has already been made once for all time, and it continues on about the veil being torn, right, and about the high priest and all that kind of stuff. Like before, we weren't able to go into the inner. What is the inner part of the temple called?
The Holy of Holies.
The Holy of Holies. We weren't allowed in there. Regular people weren't allowed in there. Only the high priest was allowed in there. And it was behind a curtain, right?
It's kind of a suspicious name anyways.
The Holy of Holies?
Holy of Holies. It's like roly-poly-oly, you know?
I like to point in there, not to kind of rewind, but if it goes back to when he says that Jesus canceled the first covenant, like if that doesn't show when it comes to the Trinity, like, hey, he is God. I don't know anybody else that can tell me, hey, that first promise that God made with you.
That's null and void.
Considering God keeps his promises. If then he says, hey, we're going to change it up because y'all are really failing at this. So I'm going to do this for y'all.
Yeah. Y'all are really bad at this game.
Yeah, y'all are really. We've got a whole book of Judges where y'all just fail. You know?
Yeah. Right there in verse 9, he said, he cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. And I think that, again, when you read it fully, you recognize that, yes, he's talking to us, but we're taking it in the wrong way, right? We're still trying to be legalistic and literally devaluing the blood of Christ. We've talked about this many times. Yep. Like, and I'm not saying we should continue in our poor behaviors because we have the right to. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we should change. Our lives should be changed, right? But I think, it comes down to process.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about the conviction, the Holy Spirit conviction, right? Like he starts to get in, it gets down in you, and you're like, you can't help but change something. Like, I have to.
That still small voice.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and even, you know, on this scripture, I just was listening to a video the other day, and they were talking about the saying that we've all heard, like, this too shall pass. And everybody's got that all over, and they use it to get through the hard times. And that's not what it's talking about in the Bible. That's actually not biblical. It's translated, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's talking about, like, hey, this fleshly world will be gone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not talking about just getting through hard times. Yeah. And so I think that breaking it down and really explaining to people, hey, look at the full context of what you're reading.
Yeah.
Because it's going to open your eyes. If you got blinders on.
Yeah. I think it's real easy,
man. It's a total misconception.
It is, 100%. Of what the
actual word's about, yeah.
Bro, I want to condemn myself. And you know what I'm saying? I want to look at myself and like, you're dirty, you're gross, you do bad things, you're not a good person, you don't do the right things. All the things that go on inside your head, that reel to reel that just over and over and over and over again.
But you know what? Because I kind of feel like if you kind of don't beat yourself up like that, it gets okay to you. Mm. Like, it's okay when you start making those mistakes. Like, you forget it, like, or you try to justify it. But when you're hard on yourself, you're constantly trying to correct yourself.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That's
You weren't pointing that out to yourself, then you would only fall into that endless trap of just repeating it. You know what I mean?
Right.
At least you're acknowledging the fact that you are making those mistakes, because then at that point you can correct them.
Sure. That's a fair point, man. I think the idea that the fact that you're worried, like I've said that to you before, that you're worried about it, like when we started talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was one of the
31.
One of the more recent.
We recorded it, and I couldn't even tell you what episode that was.
I listened to it this morning. About 3 a.m. that was on.
We started talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and you were like, "Man, I just want to make sure that
what is going on in my mind is not considered that, because you know, like when you think about things, like I'm not saying that I've ever been like, never been that way, but. In my mind, when I question things, you know, because I'm that dude. I question everything.
Yeah,
I can know the facts, but I'm still gonna question it because I want to see what the outcome is from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, but is it though?
but did it really happen?
And I think that's fair, but I think that's just us humans being. And at this point, we are human, and our spirit is within us. It's not on the outside.
Yeah.
Right, you see flashes of it coming out, and that's what I think the fruits of the Spirit really are. It's the Spirit coming out of you, right? So like that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, something and self-control. I always forget one or two of them. Come on,
I had all of them except for one last week, and now I just lost
kindness, gentleness, self-control, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think that that's manifestations of the Spirit coming out of us, and the reason it comes out of us is because we focus attention on it, and we're trying it, being more intentional and trying to be in control. Cause like, again, we've talked many times about like, I'm in control of my emotions, right? Yeah. You can't make me mad.
You can, you have to keep your reaction is what's going to make you mad.
Right. So you can say something that might initially give me the emotion of anger, but staying in the anger is my choice.
Yeah.
Right. Being angry and acting out of anger is still my choice. Even though, that emotion was triggered, it's still my choice how to act.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I think part of that falls on, as humans, I feel like sometimes we're bad about, if I can't fix the whole thing, then I'm not going to mess with anything.
Sure.
And we don't realize that extraordinary acts from God most often come from ordinary acts of obedience.
Right.
So it's fixing this one thing at a time, saying, hey, I'm going to be better about this one thing today.
Yeah.
I don't have to take all this in. He already did that. I'm going to fix this one problem that I have.
Bite-sized morsels.
Bite-sized morsels, yeah.
Like all the debt that chews on my paycheck?
Yeah.
Takes it in little chunks?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Jaws. Every time I look at my paycheck at the end of payday, it's like, well, big old shark teeth. I can see. Yeah. If I had a piece of paper, it'd be taking little pieces.
I feel you,
out.
Man. I got tool truck accounts that are just eating mine away.
Oh, dude.
Stay away from the tool trucks.
I remember those days. I remember at one point me owing Snap-on $17,000.
Yeah, no, I don't have it like that. I think I owe Snap-on like $100. Matco, a little bit different story.
Yeah, my Matco account was like $2,500, and my Snap-on was like $17,000.
We got a Matco truck that comes out there too, but I just stay away when I see him. I go the other direction.
Yeah, that's what it was, dude. My toolbox was $14,000.
Jeez, man, that's crazy. But I think it's just it's a practical illustration for humanity to see like the way you're talking about process, like. This whole thing is a process. It's one step at a time. And right now, I'm guilty of doing exactly what I tell you guys not to do. I'm trying to be at the end.
Yeah.
I started the race and I'm somewhere in the middle, still taking steps, but I'm trying to be at the end.
You got tunnel vision right now. You're focused on what's out of sight. Like you're focusing too far down the road. You got to pay attention to what's going on around you.
Yeah.
Worried about the destination, not the journey.
Yeah.
You can't appreciate, this is my opinion, you can't appreciate the destination if you don't walk through that journey.
Yeah, for sure.
If I was born and immediately could just die and have a relationship with Jesus, yeah, that'd be pretty great. But if I didn't have to go through all the things that I did in life.
You realize what you were really missing out on, you know what I mean?
Well, like just the life that we all live.
Yeah.
Understanding just how much more he loves us, because even when we were sinners, he still
Christ
loved
died.
Us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and I think too, we start to this scripture is a great point, a great case in point that we're trying to rely on ourselves to be righteous, whenever the righteousness of God is Christ, and we gain righteousness through Christ, mm-hmm. right? And it's so. He is the narrow gate. So we can't get through the narrow gate without him. We have to have him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't know. The world's so jacked up. And I think that there's so much coming at you so fast sometimes. Even for people like us who are so well, you know, kind of in it as deeply as we are. Sometimes that's even easier to fall off. And it's easier to kind of just get distracted. Because mm-hmm. there's so much coming at you. And there's so many different opinions, especially on this, and I'm like trying not to have an opinion. Whenever I'm talking, I'm trying to tell you facts, right?
Yeah. The truth. Everything you say should be truth.
It needs to be truth, and I want to be truthful. And yes, there is some level of this is how I understand it, and I understand that not everybody's going to understand it the exact same way, and that's why I think it's important for us to gather and talk to each other. And gain multiple perspectives, because that's how you gain true knowledge and really get to truth. You know,
it's the power of all of his parables that really kind of throw you for a loop. You know, it's like, oh my God, what's he really saying?
Because
it's
not, yeah.
And when he's asked a question, he doesn't answer it. Yeah.
Except not like that.
The question.
Yeah, he answers it with another question in like or like a really vague kind of. Yeah. It can go 99 different ways of response. You know, it's not. It's never a. Yes, do this. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, no, understood. I do. I agree with you a little bit. But I think that what you're, I kind of think what you're trying to say and where we're kind of getting is like, God doesn't require love. He wants love.
He is love.
Right. But he wants love from us. He wants us to love him. He wants us to praise and worship him. For no other reason than he created us and he loves us and he was willing to give everything for you, right?
Well, and I think that comes down to the fatherly perspective. You know, in this time, it's kind of hard to say for a lot of people, but like my dad was a piece of work.
Yeah.
We've had that conversation.
Yeah.
And I loved my dad till the day he died, no matter what wrong he did me, because he was my dad.
Yeah.
And it's even gotten me to the point recognizing that so many people have the relationship with God that they do because of how their earthly father treated them. Mm-hmm. They're like, I started stepping in this position of when I pray to Jehovah Abba, my heavenly perfect father.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to that, like, father, son, father, child love.
Yeah.
Where you know he's going to protect you. He's going to do right by you. He's not going right. to put you in harm's way. And if he allows you to go into harm's way, it's for you to learn a lesson that you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not just pushing you out there to see it like,
hey, hey, guys, watch this.
He doesn't push you into storms just to do it. He lets you walk in there. That way you can realize, hey, I have this thing that I didn't realize I already had, but I've got a strength that I didn't realize I had when I walked into that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yes, yeah. sir. I agree. I think that, you know, we're starting, like you talk about, like, there, I don't remember the scripture exactly, but it talks about, it's the part where he starts talking about perfect love, casting out all fear. And like, if you are afraid, then it's because you don't really understand how truly God loves you. You know what I mean? Like, it's because you're afraid of punishment. That's why you're fearful. Yeah. It's not because you know God loves you. you know what I mean? And like, I don't remember exactly where that's at. It might be in.
It's like you're. It's like
Peter or something like that.
It's like you're trying to go through all the correct motions just because you're afraid of going to hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're afraid, like, of punishment. Yeah. Afraid of getting hurt. Yeah. Afraid of, you know, oh, that lightning bolt. I don't know why we picture a lightning bolt. I don't know.
Too many people are worried about having fire insurance and not having a relationship you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Well, and we want to have a relationship, and that's what we're trying to do here. Like, that's what we're trying to motivate each other to do. And then, if you've listened to this podcast very long, you know I'm not super communal, right? This is changing because God has been working on that in me for 40-ish years. Like, you need people. You can't do it by yourself. I created other people to help you.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm sitting here thinking, how many people have I pushed away in my life that were meant to help me, that God had sent to me to be an anchor or to be a lifeline?
Yeah.
And I pushed them away because I didn't know. I'm good. I got it. I'm going to do this by myself in my strength. And how dangerously bad that was. And, a lot of bad things have happened because of that. And then I'm here by myself trying to deal with the emotional distress and physical distress and, you know, not having anybody to turn to, you know what I mean? And like, now it's like I'm trying to force myself sometimes, and maybe a little too much, to force myself to be like, okay, I got to take this somewhere else. I can't just deal with this in-house anymore. You know what I mean? And sometimes maybe I wouldn't say to a flaw, but it can get a little uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, and I think that it's knowing those people that you can go to. Like, I came to you a few weeks ago about a friend of ours who I knew their situation, and they needed prayer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gone, nothing against you. I just don't know you as well.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have came to you because you didn't know that individual. And it's kind of one of those things where, even when it comes to prayer, you know, you speak nothing but truth. Yeah. But not all truth should be spoken.
Right. Right.
Because it's not everybody's business.
Yeah, for sure.
And part of me just kind of thinks it comes down to being able to trust one another and know who you can lean on. You know, you talked about, like, you're feeling burnt out and just kind of off. I think part of that comes with being a leader the way you are. Both of y'all are. You know, you pour into this ministry of the podcast. If you pour into people and pour into people and pour into people and nobody's pouring into you, your cup's going to run empty.
Yeah.
And I went through that, and it's rough. I had to start taking pauses and steps back.
Yeah.
And catching a message here and there and really letting people pour into me.
Yeah. Well, but you have to be willing.
Oh, 100%.
To get poured into in order for that to help, right? So, like, I can't tell you how many times somebody will say something that I desperately needed to hear, but I didn't know I needed to hear it until I heard it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, it's not that I'm not willing. It's just because I'm not ready and I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Like, today, I'm not sure what's wrong. I can't pinpoint anything, and I want to process and chew on it and, you know, find what that little core little seed is that's causing the issue. But sometimes I don't think, I can't tell you how many times I've done that and never figured it out.
Well, that's like me sitting out in front of the house before I came in.
Yeah.
I just needed a minute. I'm like, that was the same thing with me. I'm just trying to process what's happening.
Give me a second.
Yeah, I'm just.
I think that's okay. I think that's okay.
But no, I mean, but it's that's the same thing. That's exactly like what you're talking about. Like yeah. I was digging trying to figure out what's going on with in my head too. Like,
yeah.
You know, what, like, really, I'm having a bad day because people are idiots.
I mean, yes.
I hate to say I hate to say it that way, but that's exactly what it is. And yeah. So it's kind of like, I mean, or maybe I'm the stupid one and they're all geniuses. I don't know.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You're not sitting on their side of the table, so it's hard to know.
They may be looking at me like, God, he's such a freaking dumb. You know? Like,
I mean, I'm not going to go that far because you're pretty brilliant. When you know something, you're like, you know, I know you know. When you know it, you know it. And like, it's very easy to trust you when you say, no, do this, do that. You know what I mean? It's like you see where I'm getting at, like,
yeah,
so I wouldn't think it was that. I do think that they have a different way of seeing things, and I think that maybe that's what you have to figure out is like, okay, tell me why, right? Tell me why you're doing that. Tell me why you see it that way. Why are we doing this?
Yeah,
when we just did all this, you know what I'm saying? Look at all the effort that went into this, and now look at what you're doing.
Yeah,
it's like you're just peeling all that back. You wasted your time then.
Yeah.
Two steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah, that's what you said, right?
Two steps forward, three steps back.
When I'm reminded of this, though, that iron sharpens iron, right? And a brother sharpens a brother. And I think it's important, you know what I mean? Like, to know that we recently talked about, like, the level of friendship, right? And it's like I made this not very smart comment of, like, there wasn't a lot of competition.
You said that knowing Kevin listens to this show.
Yeah. Well, but what I was trying to say was, like, that's because I had never really developed a lot of relationships. So what I'm trying to say is, like, it's actually my expectation is a lot higher because I am trusting,
yeah,
this relationship. I'm trusting my brotherly relationships with Kevin, with Jason. My dad is my dad, right? Like you were talking about earlier. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, I can't take everything to him. I can't take everything to my wife. You know what I'm saying? Because then they worry and they want to fix it. I don't need you to fix anything. I just need somebody to freaking listen to me for a minute.
You just need to get it off your chest and digest. I mean,
yeah,
just air it out. I mean, just so it's not in here no more. Yeah.
Let me get it out there. And then if you have anything that God speaks to you to say something positive to make me feel just a tiny bit better, that's a lot. That's a lot. But the fact that I'm even going as far as to doing it, that's like a victory in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's taking 100%. That step in faith. You know, back to kind of what your shirt says, iron sharpens iron. 2.5 weeks ago, I was on a long road trip like I was today, and my boss got under my skin, like bosses know how to do really well. And I'd listened the whole day before that to about 7 hours of bumper sticker wisdom. And I was like, man, leaving Fort Worth, I really don't want to listen to anything. I didn't even want being poured into, but I knew I needed it.
Right.
And so I turned on, I want to say I was on like episode 24 or 25, and started listening. And I was having some seriously negative thoughts where the enemy was telling me who to listen to, what the world says about me.
Yeah.
And not what God said I was and who he called me to be. So I listened to about 5 hours of the show because I needed it. And yeah. It really reminded me, like, hey, you're a mighty man of God. You're designed on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. And so I called you.
Yep.
And let you know, hey, you really poured into me. I really appreciate that. Like, the show is amazing. Thank you. Because y'all had talked about in some of those episodes getting down to the numbers of it. And it's not necessarily about the numbers. It's about the one. And, you know, we hear that in church all the time.
Yeah.
It's not about the masses. It's about the one that you reach out to.
Yeah.
And so I think that iron sharpens iron kind of comes back to that.
Yeah.
And then really getting into, you know, just breaking down and having that relationship and saying, hey, I'm willing to step out in faith. And whether your next step is a prayer time, a quiet time, whatever you need.
Coming on a podcast.
Yeah. Man, y'all, I was scared. Tanner makes this sound easy.
You're making it sound pretty easy.
You're doing
too.
Fine. Yeah.
And, but yeah, and I mean, there was a time where my next step was stepping into youth, and that was really just to get out of the house because I was going through a divorce. I did not want to be at home.
Yeah.
And then here recently, it's just been really building on that
prayer
life, stepping into the altar call ministry that we're in. And
that's
intimidating.
Yes, it is. It still is. I've been doing it for a while now, and I'm still, you know, standing up there ready to pray for people. A lot of times you don't get a whole lot of interaction. You know what I mean? They're making some changes to try and change that, which, you know, you weren't there this last Sunday, but instead of doing it during worship, we did it at the end. And so they called all the prayer team up to the front and started doing a worship song and said, if you want prayer, come up now. And they're going to start doing, potentially doing the I said yes bags through doing that same thing. So if somebody wants to give their life to Christ in that moment, you pray with them, you give them the bag, you know, all that, you kind of walk with them through the whole process, which is cool. I'm not a fan of it. I won't go up to the front. I'm not that guy. I wasn't, but God's been changing me. Like, I don't know how often I'm not on the prayer or the altar ministry that I go up there anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of times I don't go up there knowing what I need prayer for, or I'm just going up there because I'm trying to motivate people around us. Like, hey, don't be scared. These people are here because they want to agree with you. They want to love on you. They want to pray with you because you might not know what to say. And sometimes you need somebody else to say it for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it's just interesting how things have changed over time, right? But the prayer life thing, like, I wouldn't say that I necessarily have a great prayer life. Now, I talk to God all the time, right? But, like, that real alone time with God where we're just getting real, you know what I mean? And getting honest.
Yeah.
And
down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm obviously God doesn't need me to bear myself to him. He can see it without that. But sometimes you're being honest with yourself in that moment, I think. And go ahead.
Yeah, I think that kind of comes back to what you were talking about earlier, just being able to call yourself out and wanting to convict yourself.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk to God, coming from a Catholic background, I could tell you all the Hail Marys, Our Fathers, and Glory Bees you want me to. I could say them real quick so I can get out of that church. But actually being able to, like, dive into prayer and talk to him like he's my friend and my father.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's completely different.
Yeah. I think that most of the times we overthink the process, right? Like, when I being on altar ministry, standing up there waiting to pray with somebody, like, you feel like you have to be, like, you know, and just, like, bringing the thunder and, like, you know, saying all the big things and all that kind of stuff. And I think what God's been teaching me lately is, like, you don't have to do all that. It's not for you to do all that. Say what's in your heart. Commit it to me. Remind them that we're committing it to me. It's not in your strength. It's not in their strength. It's in my strength. Yep. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep.
And in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, and I think a big part of it, too, is really kind of breaking down. Like, this week was my first week to do it, and I wasn't in the right headspace.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, break down before anybody came to me because, of course, my first week I have two people that I'm very close to come to me for prayer.
Yeah.
And I just prayed before. I was like, Lord, let the Holy Spirit fill my body and let these words be your words, not mine. And, like, really being able to say, hey, you're doing something through me.
Yet.
These people are trusting me to pray for them, but it's through you that I'm able to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a surrender situation.
Oh, 100%.
If there's anything that doing the altar ministry has been teaching me, it's about that. It's that surrender thing, and that's a lot of times when we're praying before we start here, that's what I'm asking for, is allow us to surrender, you know, get out of our own heads and really just kind of let you flow through, let the Holy Spirit flow through. Obviously, we want him to bless it, and, you know, by the way, I don't know if I said thank you very much for letting us know.
Oh, you did. Yeah, you did.
Okay. I don't remember. I know that every time anybody reaches out to us and just says thank you, it means a ton. It means a lot to us. I don't want to speak for you. I know it means a lot.
Well, of course it does. I mean,
it's just
anytime that you know that you're kind of helping someone get their life on track or kind of guiding them or even if you're not doing, even if you're doing neither one of them, if you're just giving them a positive influence, I mean, they may still be resisting. They may still be on that. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about in general.
Yeah.
They may be resisting it. They may be, but you may be the only Bible they ever see in their life. So
yeah,
just that little bit of positive influence could go a long way, you know, to help them.
Yeah. And just hearing it from people.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know, you and I talked about, like, you didn't want to see the analytics anymore.
Yeah.
Because it kind of takes some of the spice out of it. It kind of makes it more like pressure.
Yeah, like it's a job almost, you know. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, we're not performing. We are.
Yeah.
We don't need those.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to see them if they're doing good, but it's not. Yeah. That wasn't the whole goal when we started this.
No. The whole goal was to motivate men to talk to each other.
Yep.
Because men need relationship with men.
Amen. That's what our Tuesday night's all about.
And to just try to be a positive influence, like pass on something good. You know what I mean?
To do God's will willingly. That was the one thing that we said we were going to do.
Amen.
How many times have we said that on the podcast? I'm just, I
can't give you that number. I can't give you that number. It's quite a few. I used it though last week.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, hey, little quote from Bumper Sticker Wisdom, do God's will willingly. Yeah. You're like, that's good. I was like, it's not mine.
It's a challenge.
It is a challenge because you know we're going to get tested.
Yep.
Are you really?
Yep.
Well, those numbers aren't really all that good. Are you still going to keep doing it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Every time.
52 weeks.
It's almost, this is 36 today. So 16 more after this and we'll get our goal at 52.
Ooh, that means it's going to be real close to Christmas. That's kind of scary already.
Jesus
Christ, man. I know.
I know. School starts this week.
Yeah, my son starts
Thursday, right?
Tomorrow.
AISD or CISD?
Bushland. He starts tomorrow. So
it's really the idea, like we did say, like if it's even touching one person, you know, we don't have to pay to do this. We don't get paid to do it either, right? Like we don't have to pay to do this. We can do this as much as we want for free and put it out there. And if it catches a million people, it catches a million people. If it catches one, it catches one. And if it's only one, that's plenty, right? That's what we talked about. And we continue to say that. And people may get tired of hearing it, but I want them to hear that because it's real easy to get discouraged.
Yeah.
It's real easy to get discouraged, man. When you're pouring into ministry and you're pouring yourself out there and you're being vulnerable, especially as a man, for anybody to hear, for anybody to see, it's real easy to start going, man, this is pointless. What I'm doing doesn't have a purpose. But that's selfish point of view.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's not about Bumper Sticker Wisdom. It isn't. It's about God. That's it. 100%. You know what I mean? And if we can help one person, that's more than we had before.
Well, and like I said, that day, I mean, I haven't had a dark season in about 2 years. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a dark season since my divorce. And that day I was on a ledge and I was looking at the side of a highway at about 90 miles an hour thinking, man, that looks kind of sweet. That tree looks like it needs a kiss.
Yeah.
And I turned on Bumper Sticker Wisdom and I thought, that's not me. That's not the man God called me to be. I need to listen to John and Jason.
The soothing voices of John and Jason.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and The sad thing about that is so many, I'm not trying to single out a gender, but so many men are going through that.
Yeah.
And they're not getting any kind of relief or any kind of help. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like the society we live in today tells them no.
Yeah. You talk to somebody like, be a man.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not super into UFC anymore. I used to be really into it. Not really into any of the fighters or anything, but Patty Pimblett,
yep.
Bro, I all of a sudden just started paying attention to what he's doing, and that dude is all about
men's mental health
and men's suicide and stuff. And, like, I have a ton of respect for that because 80% of suicides is men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can say men have it easy in this country. You can say that, but I'm sorry to tell you, you're lying to yourself.
I would never say that.
Well, I'm not saying you. You wouldn't.
Statistics.
I wouldn't.
Say that they don't have it easy. So anybody that says otherwise.
Yeah. And I'm not anti-feminists. I'm not anti-women. I love women, obviously. But I'm just saying they don't have it harder than men in this country.
The world is not nice to men at all.
No.
You know, I mean, and I know it's different in other countries. In other countries, it's
Oh, they're not nice to the men there either.
No, but it's traditionally you're gonna bow down and do like you're told, but they still don't have that ability to be able to get anything off their chest, and it's probably even worse over there as far as men talking to men because they're all about pride.
Oh yeah.
You know, we have those, like we've been taught to like in church and stuff to talk to other men, to
have a confidant.
Have someone you can confide in and some, or someone that you can go to for prayer. Mm-hmm. But over there, you know, they're pretty, they're like Red Solo cups, bro. You know what I
mean? Just, all right, Toby.
Yeah. They're stuck. They're their own. That's it.
Yeah. It trips me out how easy it is to just kind of focus on what we're not doing right, or all the ways that we fail.
Yeah.
And some of that's like necessary, because if you start believing your own hype, you get a little prideful, and then it becomes
about
you.
The downfall really is hard at that point.
Yeah. But I think probably the reason, and again, I'm not trying to diagnose myself or diagnose my issue, but just hearing the conversation and thinking about all the things we talked about, I think that's really kind of why I'm not in a right frame of mind, because I'm thinking only about the ways that I've failed people or my friends or my brothers or my sons or my wife, my dad, whatever. And I don't really give myself any credit for the good things that I've done. And I think that that's probably a common issue for most of us. Now, I'm not saying we should be beating our chest, like, look at all the good things that I've done. It's not like that, but I think that credit where credit's due, and it's hard for me to say that because I'm not that guy. I don't take compliments well.
You don't. You don't.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. If you would consider taking credit, understanding the fact that the reason that you were doing what you were doing is because of God, you know, the reason that you are reaching the people that you're reaching is because of your belief in God's values and the things that he wants you to do.
Right.
And how he does want you to reach out to other people, and how he does want you to sharpen, you know, iron to sharpen iron, how he does want you to minister to people. And you start kind of looking at the progress that you're having. I think as long as you're acknowledging that the wisdom you got was not from you, because it's not going to be from you. You're never going to be able to reach the people that he wants you to reach because of you. He's going to put them in your path, you know what I mean? And then you're going to be able to reach them.
Right.
I think as long as you focus it that way, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
But you can get very delusional with, look at me, look what I'm doing. Yeah.
Not to beat my own horn, but beep.
Yeah.
Well, and part of that is recognizing that, like, God will give us the tools, but we have to do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, because of God, all this is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything.
But, and not to butt God, so pardon that. Don't let it be blasphemy. But you're putting in the work.
Sure.
You're being obedient.
Sure.
You're doing what you're called to do.
Sure.
And it's not for nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Kudos to you. Props on you.
Yeah.
And then give thanks to God for what he's allowed you to do.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%. This thing doesn't happen. There's a lot of people that, like, the first person that ever mentioned John doing a podcast, because I had no clue. I was going to do it all by myself. But then I'm like, man, I can't do this by myself. You know what I mean? But the very first person to say anything was Brittany.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know Brittany. She's a friend of, she's basically Terry's best friend. Not basically, that's her confidant. That's who she goes to. That's who she goes to complain about John, right? So if she needs to get something off her chest. And I didn't see it, but she's like, I think you should do a podcast or something. She's read everything I've written, right? And that's where that came from, is what she said. And I thought it'd been about 2 years that I'd been kind of bouncing the thought off in my head, but I'm like, I don't even know what that looks like. How do you even start? And it wasn't until I talked to you about it and you were like, when do we start?
Yeah.
You know, because I had talked to Kevin about it. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, that's cool. Never once was he like, we should do that. You know what I mean? I said it one time to Jason. And he's like, well, when do we start? Like, tomorrow?
Kevin. What do you want to do? What I mean, like, where are we going to do this? Like, are you ready? Like,
you know what I'm saying? And, like, God, again, I think that was – it started with that invite. But then you start, like, looking back and looking and listening and thinking about the process of all these things, right? And then you allow yourself to get into one of these moments like this where it's like – you're being all negative about stuff and like, man, I'm not making an impact, or it's not the impact I want to be making, or you know what, I'm thankful that I even just get to do it, right? But you, there's a part of that thing inside of you that's like, man, you just, you want to see that fruit. You know what I mean? You want to see the fruit of the labor.
Yeah, you want to see the harvest.
Yeah. But at the same time, man, again, you think about the process and how we even ended up right here, right now, on 8/13 of 2024.
Golly.
Dude, I'm so proud of what God has been able to do, not only in my life, but in Jason's life and in the lives of all those around me and all the people who've come through here this year. And ain't a single person that's been on this podcast that's famous that anybody knows. No. Right. But there's
we all know each other.
We know each other.
I got some famous friends.
I got some famous friends.
I'm over here just trying to figure out how y'all fit y'all's whole Monday night group. Like in my
We were in there.
Yeah. You know, in your mind when you picture something.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you're like, this is this is not how, and it's not like in a negative way. It's just
we're caveman in it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? we gotta start somewhere, you know what I mean?
But this is complete. It's been like this for about 3 months-ish, 3 or 4 months, like this whole setup, the way it is currently. But it changed about 8 times before we got to this point. Yeah.
I do want to say something on kind of like those hard times, though.
Yeah.
This was poured into me. Knowing that because of God's love for us and Jesus' sacrifice for us, that the devil on his best day can't beat us on our worst.
Mm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but we fall into that trap of believing him.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's the king of lies.
I know, but why? Deceit, we don't have to believe
him. Father of lies.
Yeah. And he's the prince of this world. Like, why? We don't have to believe him, though. Yeah. Like, why? What is it about our dang, I poked myself in the eye. What is it about our mental processes, our psyche? It's the world, right? It's the world. It has nothing to do with us personally.
It's getting harder as the world goes on, though.
Yeah.
You got to go back 100 years. Times were completely different.
Yeah.
You know, back then, people truly were still afraid of God.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way, but they knew there was repercussions for their actions. Now, everybody's morals are so loose.
Oh yeah,
there is zero fear. The only people that fear him are the or not fear him, but respect the fact that there is a God and that we are eventually going to have to confess.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ is. You know what I mean? Like you're those people don't know. Like everybody's morals are so loose that they don't care. So all that is surrounding us. Like we are drowning.
Yeah, on all sides. That,
on every side. And our kids, I mean,
it's only going to get worse for them.
Even when we were young, it was still wasn't near as bad as it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd never heard about a kid getting kidnapped. Then I did, and I freak out. I'm like, oh, they're trying to kidnap me. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, remember never hearing about that until I was like 7. Then I was like, oh, so-and-so got kidnapped. I was like, what?
What?
Well, like, people want you?
Even me growing up, like, out where we lived off kind of in the country. It was 2003, 2004, and we were still running the streets till the streetlights came on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you hear about stuff and you're like,
I'm not
doing
that.
Mom starts saying, hey, you're not allowed outside after this time instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think.
Yeah, I was a streetlight kid. Yeah. When I was allowed to go outside, I was in trouble a lot.
I don't doubt that. I think a lot of it just has to do with, like, the lies that he tells and then the ones that we repeat.
Yeah,
and that kind of comes down to like, the tongue has the power of life and death. Sir. You know, like one of these days we're gonna have to answer for every word we said, and it's either gonna condemn us or acquit us.
Yeah,
and
and there it is too, though. But you get that choice. You get the choice, and instead of saying what I know about myself from God's perspective, even though I may not believe it in that moment, instead of saying those things, I'm listening to the lies and saying, "You're right. You're right." I am a worthless, all the things, lowly, lowly.
I just had a talk with a guy Sunday at open house.
Yeah.
Christian texted me out of nowhere, and he was like, hey, here's this guy's number.
Okay.
And something about it, like, Holy Spirit just kind of convicted me, and he was like, you're not going to text that guy. You're going to drive to the church right now, and you're going to go meet him in person. I was like, man, Holy Spirit, I really wanted a nap.
I don't want to do that.
Fine,
right now.
You know, so I get in my pickup, and I get there, and it's a guy going through pretty much the exact situation I went through 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Only he's y'all's age, and so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of trying to tell a grown man who's been through twice the life I have.
Yeah.
Hey, I get that, you know, you feel like your marriage is in ruins and that it's this, that, and the other thing, but don't let the enemy tell you that you're worthless, because you're not.
Yeah.
And having to, and I've had to text him every day since and have midnight phone calls for 2 hours because I told him, hey, if you need something, call me. I'll answer. Yeah. And he believed me.
And he took you up on it.
He believed me.
I stood to it. I said, man, yep, I made that promise. But, like, having the reminder that it is part of my job as a man of God,
yeah,
to remind him who he is in God's eyes, not the, yeah, world's eyes.
Yeah.
You're not a failed husband in God's eyes.
Yeah.
You're a mighty man of God. You're not worthless.
Yeah.
You're not this, that, and the other thing. Like, let me tell you what you are, yeah, according to this book, because this book is facts.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that everybody, we all need to remember, though, is why are we those things? It's not about what we can do or have done.
No.
It's about what Christ did.
Amen.
Yeah. We are that through him.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I tried to explain this to one time to my dad. We was talking about, like, we have to remember that God looks at us through the lens of Jesus' blood. It's like he has Jesus' blood glasses on his eyeballs, and he's not looking at us directly.
Yeah.
Without that filter,
he'd be very, yeah, disappointed.
He may be very unhappy.
Yeah.
But instead, he looks at us through the lens of Jesus' blood. So what he sees, instead of seeing the brokenness and the scars and the ugliness and the failure, he sees your sin washed white. You're perfect.
Yeah.
You're righteous. You're loved. You're mine. You follow me.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good.
God is good, man.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful. And I, you know what? I appreciate it, because I think the conversation helped me a lot, even just kind of walking through whatever it was, to be reminded, man, just to be thankful. Yeah. And I think that when we start talking about prayer, I think if I had any advice to anybody, first of all, keep it simple. But the number one thing I would take in prayer, especially if you just don't know what to say, is thank you. Thank you for everything.
Yes. Yeah. Prayers of, I mean, I don't think enough people probably do give prayers of thanks. It's prayers of help me.
I need this.
Yeah, it's prayers of guide me.
Yeah.
Dude, a prayer of thanks is, I mean, I start every one of my prayers with, first and foremost, yeah, yes, thank you for all the blessings you've bestowed, yeah, upon me. Thank you for the family that I have in my life. Thank you for all the opportunities you've had or presented to me that,
yeah,
I can get to know you better. And then, yeah, it's, I'm struggling with, you know, I give my thanks first, and then it's like, hey, I'm struggling with,
yeah,
a situation of anger or,
yeah,
you know,
impatience, yeah, or, yeah, or, hey, this sin that I've fallen into,
yeah,
or
that I just cannot seem, yeah, to put down, you know, it's,
yeah,
for some odd reason, my arms are just built for 12-ounce curls.
Man, I was that
They're
way,
well-toned.
It's hard. It's hard, brother. Trust me. 9 months in now, and I'm just like,
Well, I hope this doesn't.
No, not at all. Like, I it's funny because I stopped at the store and I grabbed that,
yeah,
y'all, and the lady was like, "Been a long time since I've seen you." And I was like, "Man, it's kind of a problem where the liquor store people know you." You know what I mean? Say, "Hey, where you been?" But it's I needed to put it down though. You know, like,
yeah,
I was using it as a crutch.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where I spoke the lies of the enemy. And I sat there and I started saying, I might be an alcoholic. I think I'm an alcoholic. And then I became an alcoholic because I spoke that into my own life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to just kind of realize, like, hey, I'm a step away from this. It might, yeah, not be forever.
Yeah.
I'm almost a year in, though, and I needed that to prove to myself, if I take the time, it's kind of like a fast.
Yeah.
I'm fasting from beer.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm like, whenever I want a beer, I'll just jump on the old Right Now Media or
yeah.
My TikTok's a lot like yours. It's like 90% ministry stuff.
Yeah.
And it just pours it. I just pour into that instead of pouring something into myself.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's hard.
I also believe that everybody's in a different place, right? And like for our brother Kevin, you know, that's been something that he's been, that like he felt convicted about, like, and needed to change. And hallelujah for him. Congratulations. It's been several weeks now with zero alcohol, which is fantastic. I'm super proud of him.
That is good. I just want to touch on that just because my dad and Kevin were really close friends whenever I was growing up.
Yeah.
And my dad lived here. And that's what they did. Like, they hung out and they drank. And, I mean, my dad drank himself to death.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And so, like, seeing Kevin take that step away, like, I'll give him a high five on Sunday. But
yeah, I'm super proud of him. I'm very proud of him because I know it's difficult. He's still not over it. I mean, he's abstaining, but he struggles with it at times, and you definitely could tell.
Oh, it's a daily thing. You have to tell yourself.
Yeah.
It's that way with any addiction.
Oh, 100%.
Any addiction.
I find it interesting too, though. We were talking about thanks, right, and giving prayer and thanks, and like to kind of go all the way back to something I said in the beginning about the veil being torn and being able to go in to behind the veil to the Holy of Holies and go straight to the throne of God. And there's a scripture that also says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, right? It's we need to start with thanks and being grateful. And instead of focusing on where we're not quite at, focusing on all that he has already done in our lives, through our lives, and remembering that I'm not supposed to be at the end of the race yet. I'm supposed to keep making steps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this all comes through process, and thank you very much, you guys, for letting me kind of air myself out.
Hey, it led to what it needed to lead to, you know, to step through it.
Yeah.
It's not what we can get over, it's what we can get through with God, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. You got a dad joke, buddy? You opened it and you smiled and
it's one that I've already said, though.
That's all right. Wait, you sent one to me in a text the other day that you wanted to share. Do you remember this?
Oof, yes, I did. Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Good, I need a second to find a bumper sticker.
Yeah, hold on just a second. It was a good one. I don't, what, do you know what?
I'm pretty sure it was your work phone.
We have so many texts that go back and forth, like bantering between each other, that it's kind of hard to... It's kind of hard to keep track of them.
Yeah.
Did I send it to you like as a text message or was it a picture?
You know what? I think it was a picture.
Shoot.
You're not going to find it, are we?
Shoot.
If I can real quick, I actually typed something up for the both of y'all.
Okay.
On this small beginnings thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin.
Mm. Interesting.
Oh yeah.
So when we're cavemaning in here,
we're beginning.
God's rejoicing in the fact that we're doing
right
his work.
It's interesting too, though, like that part of the conversation was about that, like the process of getting to this point.
Yeah.
And like thinking about, like, never in my wildest dreams at one point that this was a reality. And now we're today recording episode 36. I had a goal of 52 for a year, right? We wanted to make sure we had one for every week of the year. And we're well on our way. You know, there's been some bumps in the road, don't get me wrong. We've had to make some adjustments and schedule some things
different. We've scrapped some episodes too, so we've had to make those up. And
we do. And we've worked very hard to get here, but you know, we've been committed to it. And thank you very much. I like that. Share that with me, please.
I will.
I need to save that.
Zechariah 4:10. I'll send it to you.
Okay, I got it finally. So dad's sitting with his son. He said, have you heard of Murphy's Law? Son says, yep. Dad said, have you heard of Cole's Law? I haven't. It's thinly sliced cabbage.
So bad. Oh, it's a really good thing that we're all dads. Yeah. And we can laugh only at that. Nobody,
I know there's people out there like, yeah, y'all are stupid.
It's coleslaw, y'all.
Yeah,
come
it's
on.
Coleslaw.
I have two that kind of grabbed me, but I don't know, just kind of the way the conversation has gone the last several, you know, probably 20 minutes, and really kind of piggybacks off of what you just said a little bit. Mark Twain once said, "The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why."
Ooh.
Man.
That's heavy.
Man.
Yeah, that hit me. That's like, heavy. I almost shed a little bit of a tear there.
That's heavy.
Yeah. And I don't know what I'm necessarily meant for, but I know it's to grow the kingdom of heaven. I want to take as many with me as I can, including myself. I don't want to be left behind for sure.
Yeah, it'd be sad to be that Moses standing over the promised land but not able to walk in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would suck. But I'm super, very, 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 very thankful to God for all that he's done, for what he's doing, and that this is just the beginning. Yeah. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
Amen.
For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm John.
I'm Jason.
I'm Matt.